Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that you're just going to reveal truth to us as we dig into the Scripture, and wherever people are at, I thank you that you minister to us right there, Holy Spirit. Help us to see ourselves as you see us today. Help us to see what you've accomplished and for that to impact our lives and our hearts so that we can reign in life and live the victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Last week we looked at, what did we look at? We looked at how we can reign in life because we're dead. And we focused on how the sinful nature is dead, and because the sinful nature is dead, we can reign in life. And that's a huge sacred cow in Christianity as well, because a lot of people believe that, you've got a sinful nature, and your whole Christian life or the whole life is really just fighting against the sinful nature. Hopefully that was laid to rest. The coffin's nailed shut, and you're not going to be worrying about that anymore. If you're still not convinced, get the CD, and it's not available anymore, but you should have got the devotional from last week, because through the devotional, we really hammered that one as well. But today, we're going to be focusing on resurrection life. And, this is how one of the ways that we reign in life is through the resurrection life of Christ. So Romans chapter 5, 17 is our key verse, and it says, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." So how do we reign in life? Number one, it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with relationship with Christ. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So the starting point for reigning in life is Jesus. Then receive the abundance of grace. And then it's received the gift of righteousness. And we focused on all those elements. But those are the three major keys to reigning in life. And today we're going to move on and go a little bit deeper. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you can turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at this resurrection life, which really is just the new life. Okay, because of the resurrection, you and I can be born again. Okay, if Jesus never rose from the dead, we wouldn't be able to be born again. We'd be forgiven, maybe, because through the sacrifice, we could receive healing, but we wouldn't be new creations. Because the new creation comes through the resurrection. Okay, so that's why one of the reasons why the resurrection is so important. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read 16 and 17. So, 16 and 17 says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." Okay? "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." So, when it says flesh, it's referring to carnality. Okay? It can often get tricky and to understand all these different flesh, sinful nature, all of this type of stuff. But here, it's talking about carnality, which is of the five senses. It's not always sinful of the five senses. You know, because you're sitting in a chair and you can feel that chair on your bottom right now, and it might be sore and uncomfortable because there's no cushion or something, but it's not sin, right? You smell, you eat, you taste, you feel. It's not always sin. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it's not. Okay, the point is that we don't regard anyone according to carnality. Why? The next verse explains it, okay? But before we get there, one of the reasons is because your sinful nature, which is now dead, has trained your carnality to see, taste, hear, smell, feel, act in a specific way, okay? So your carnality has been trained by your sinful nature. And so if you want to reign in life, you've got to stop. You've got to change that your way of thinking, okay? Yeah, Romans 12 verse 2 says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you've got to change your way of thinking. Your sinful nature trained your mind to operate in a specific way. Now you've got to, as a believer, retrain your mind to operate in a new way. Okay, and you've got to see yourself as a new creation, which is what the next verse says. It says, well, it carries on in verse 16, "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So, you have to see yourself as a new creation if you want to experience resurrection life, live the abundant life, reign in life. If you're wanting to be victorious, you have to see yourself as a new creation. You can't see yourself as who you were before you received Christ. You can't see yourself as a sinner. You can't see yourself as whatever, according to the flesh. You, even right now, if you're struggling with something, that's not your identity. Because what you do doesn't determine who you are. You can't see yourself as that. You've got to see yourself through the eyes of God and what He says about you. And obviously we get that from the Word. Okay? What does He say about me? I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Often we as believers then look at ourselves and who we are according to the flesh, according to carnality, according to whatever, and we automatically say, you know, like I'm cursed or I'm this or I'm that. Whereas the Word says, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Doesn't matter what's happened. Okay, it doesn't matter what's happening even. What matters is what God says about you, and He says you're a new creation. So seeing yourself as God sees you is essential to reigning in life. Okay, so turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 5 to 9. Seeing yourself as God sees you is essential to reigning in life. Okay, excuse me, sorry. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. Says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. So, just to kind of explain that and to dig into that a bit. Firstly, to win the battle on the outside, I've said this already, but to win the battle on the outside, you've got to first win the battle on the inside. You've got to win the battle in your mind before you win any battle on the outside. Okay? It all starts up here. This is one of the things which this passage of Scripture is telling us. Win the battle on the inside first, and you'll win the battle on the outside. Okay? Now, when it says in the flesh, it's referring to being unsaved. When it's saying in the Spirit, it's referring to someone who's saved. When you understand that, it makes a lot more sense if you read it through slowly. Okay? When it says after or according to the flesh, it's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about following after the flesh. If it's talking about after the Spirit or according to the Spirit, it's talking about a lifestyle or actions of righteousness and holiness and all of that. So, if you're in the flesh, you can still live after the Spirit. You've got a lot of people who are unsaved who act like better than some Christians. Amen? Then you've got people who are in the Spirit who don't necessarily walk after the Spirit, but they walk after the flesh. Christians in the Spirit who live after the flesh. They don't act like a Christian. You could never tell if they were. Amen? You get what I'm talking about? Okay? So when you understand that, it makes a lot more sense with what we're reading. So it says in the verse there, for those who live according to the flesh. So this is talking, it's not necessarily someone who's unsaved. It's talking about someone who's a Christian, living according to the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what this is saying is what you think about is vital. You've got to win the battle in your mind and on the inside before you win the battle on the outside. Okay? What you think about is vital in this in reigning in life. Like I said, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, you know, that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? You're either being transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, or you're being conformed to the pattern of this world. There's no gray, middle ground, neutral. You're either, if you're in neutral, you're being pushed automatically to being conformed to the pattern of this world because everything in this life is geared towards making you like the world. Okay? You're either being changed and transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing your way of thinking, or you're being conformed to the pattern of this world. Okay? If you want to walk in resurrection power, if you want to walk in the resurrection life of Christ, you've got to be focused on the things of the Spirit. You've got to be focused on the things of God. You've got to set your heart and your mind on Jesus and the Word and what He says and all of that. It's not going to happen by accident. Okay? Victory doesn't happen by accident. We don't talk about David, the shepherd boy, who accidentally beat Goliath, right? He just was, you know, stumbled over a stone and the stone accidentally got kicked up into the giant's forehead, and he got conquered. He didn't accidentally cut the Goliath's head off, right? It was very purposeful. If you want to live in victory and reign in life, you've got to be purposeful about it. It doesn't happen by accident. James 4 verse 7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submitting to God, I believe, is just talking about a humility. Firstly, it's talking about the fact that you're born again. Okay, only a born-again person can resist the devil and see him flee. Then it's talking about a born-again person who realizes, is humble enough to realize that it's God's power, it's God's authority, and I'm just a custodian of it, or I'm just using it, I'm a steward of it. It's someone who's dependent on God. If you're not dependent on God, and you, even as a Christian, are dependent on your own holiness, you're not going to resist the devil and see him flee. But what I'm trying to show you is submitting to God is something purposeful. Resisting the devil, resist means actively fight against. If you want to reign in life, you have to actively resist the devil. You have to actively fight against the devil. It doesn't happen by accident. When the enemy attacks you, you've got to come stand up and say, no, thank you. You don't even need to say thank you. Just say no. You don't have to be polite with the devil. Okay? So anyway, if you want to walk in resurrection power, you've got to have your mind focused on the things of God, and that takes a purposeful act. It takes you actually having to do something. Okay? And then the scripture goes on there in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You've got to win the battle in the inside before you win the battle on the outside. You know, so if you're not winning the battle on the outside, whatever your battle is, it's probably because you're not winning the battle on the inside yet. Win the battle on the inside and you win the battle on the outside. So, to be carnally minded is death. Carnal mindedness, not just talking about sin. Carnal mindedness, talking about of the five senses. If you're dominated by what you see, taste, hear, smell, feel, if you're dominated by experience, if you're dominated by what you feel and not by spiritual mindedness, which we'll talk about in a moment, you will die. It doesn't say it tends towards death. It says, to be carnally minded is death, which means equal to death, which means it results in death and nothing else. If you're just, now we live in this world, but we're not of it. Okay, yes, there's things that we have to do which are carnal, but that can't be our primary focus and first concern. Our primary focus needs to be the things of the Spirit, because we're not of this world. Okay, so for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritual mindedness results in equals to life and peace. Amen. You can't experience life, you can't experience peace if you're focused on carnality. If you're focused on the wrong things, you will not experience life and peace. Here's a good example, Isaiah 26. Or good scripture to illustrate what we're talking about. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, how many people want to experience perfect peace? The world spends thousands and thousands and thousands of whatever denomination of currency they're dealing with to experience peace. You know, people will do a lot to experience peace. Some people are addicted to holidays to experience peace. Some people are addicted to gym to experience peace. Some people are addicted to pills and alcohol or something else just to experience peace. But that doesn't bring true lasting peace. Only true lasting peace comes as a result of relationship with God. End of story. Okay? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you keep your mind focused on God, and that'll help you to trust in him, it will result in perfect peace. The next verse. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So just giving you a reason to trust in God, because there's everlasting strength. His strength does not end. It goes on forever. Okay? So, carnal mindedness results in death. Spiritual mindedness results in life and peace. Reigning in life is simple. Be spiritually minded, and you reign. Be carnal minded, you won't reign. Okay, it's pretty simple. What is being spiritually minded? If you look at John 6, verse 63, Jesus said, okay, so John 6, 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So spiritual mindedness is being Word of God focused, Word of God minded. We focus on God's Word, we focus on His promises, and as a result, we experience life, we experience peace, we will experience victory. Okay, but it comes from having to be focused on the Word. Now, just a practical example. You know, if you've got a whole bunch of challenges around you, and whether it's health challenges, financial challenges, whatever challenges, it's easy to focus on those challenges, right? Because you can feel them. They're real. We're not doubting that. We live in this earth suit on this earth, and so you hit me, I'm going to feel it. Jesus really felt what He went through on the cross. Okay, He felt it physically. Now, in order for us to reign through these kind of situations, what do we need to do? We need to be more Word of God focused and more spiritually minded than focused on what we're experiencing. If through it you're focused on by His stripes I'm healed, or God's my provider, or whatever the situation is, or God will never leave me nor forsake me. You know, Psalm 46, I think it is, just how He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. If you're focused on that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He'll never leave you, never forsake you. If you're focused on that, it'll cause you to get through that situation easier. And you'll reign in life more effortlessly. But if you're just focused on all the challenges coming at you, you know, you're going to camp there for a while. I was speaking to someone over this past week, and they are experiencing a tremendous amount of challenges in business and things like that, and it was completely unexpected. Just came out of nowhere. And this guy is solid. You know, this guy's gone through Bible school. This guy's really like knows the Word, is used to encouraging people and all this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting talking to him, and all he's saying is all these negative things. And he, you know, they don't know how they're going to make it. There's not enough money even at the moment for food sometimes, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I can understand that, but let's focus on what God says about the situation. And as we were doing that, he was like, yeah, you're right. And he was kind of getting back. And sometimes we just need people around us to encourage us to be spiritually minded, because it's so easy to be carnal and to focus on carnality. But if we've got to win the battle on the inside before we win the battle on the outside, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It's all got to do with what we think. Verse 5 and 6, it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, we focused on that last week. When you receive Christ and you are born again, you are identified with His death, and in His death, that you were crucified with Him, the sinful nature is gone. So, we have been united with Him together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. That's not saying we will become, you know, it's something that we grow in, because many scriptures are talking about how that's a done deal. The Christian is resurrected with Christ as much as they are dead with Christ. It's not a process of becoming, it's an accomplished fact. You're just in the process of realizing it. Okay? So, a lot of Christians don't know they're dead and that they're alive. Verse 6. Well, let's go back a few lines there in verse 5. It says, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this. Say, knowing this. That our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Okay, knowing this, that our old man, not talking about your father, but talking about your sinful nature, amen. Okay, you'll catch that later. Not talking about your dad, your old man. It's talking about the old man that is in sinful nature, something that is now dead. Okay, what was it? The joke that Lamech said. Paul's father was crucified with Christ, because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. Anyway, getting back to the scripture here, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. So this is saying that we walk in resurrection power, according to knowing that our old man is dead. So if you want to walk in the resurrection life of Christ and experience His power flowing in your life, it's completely dependent on knowing that your old man, your sinful nature, is dead. And that's why so many Christians don't walk in the resurrection life and power, because they still think that the old man is completely alive and fighting you on the inside. Okay, now, I grew up in that. And I remember even sitting in one of the Bible schools that I went to, and that was taught from the front. You've got a sinful nature and you've got to fight it. And I was sitting there going, yeah, I just got a revelation of grace and just started studying out the stuff. I was like, that doesn't sound right. I even had someone sitting in front of me turn around and go, Shane, do you think that that's right? I made the mistake of saying no, because the word got out to the lecturer. But the point is that you've got, your sinful nature is completely dead. You don't got one anymore. Okay, it's gone. Okay, so your walking in resurrection power is dependent on knowing that your old man is dead. Why? Why is it dependent on knowing that your sinful nature is dead? Okay, if you just think about it practically, you'll come to the answer, but here's what I came up with. You know, firstly, when you're focused on your old man as being alive, when you're focused on your carnality and your sinful nature, you're falling into two traps. Number one, either pride, because you think you're better than someone else, or you think you're doing okay. Okay, so then you fall into pride and you think you're okay. Then you can't walk in resurrection power because you're in pride. The other one would be you fall into condemnation because woe is me, I'm just terrible. You focus on your carnality and everything that's going wrong, and it's like, oh goodness, there's no hope for me. And both of those are problems because you're focused on yourself. And when you've got a focus on self and not a focus on Christ, you cannot reign in life. Because you reign in life not by focusing on self, but by focusing on Jesus. It's in and through and with Jesus that we reign in life. Okay, so as long as you're focused on self, you're not going to reign in life. Okay, so that's why that's a major reason why you need to know that the sinful nature is dead. Because then you're not judging yourself, as we looked at in that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:16. You're not focusing on yourself according to the flesh. You're focusing on yourself and others according to the Spirit. What God says about us, not what we say about us, what we see about us. Okay? I think that's good. Yeah, one of the other things, you know, you're focused on yourself. You're focused on not on Jesus. It's going to mess up your whole life, your whole walk with God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or the author and perfecter of our faith. Another translation says, the start and perfecter of our faith. Okay, so if you want faith, now another scripture says, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so now the justified, the righteous, that's you and me as believers, we live this life by faith. The only way faith happens is if we're focused on Jesus. If we're focused on ourselves, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. If we focus on Him, our faith is strengthened and then we're able to get through. If we focus on ourselves, because focus on the flesh, on carnality would do that, it defuses faith in your life and you will not live in victory ever. You might hit it once in a while, but like the saying goes, a blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while. You're not going to get it consistently. If you want to live in victory consistently, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Darren. If you want to hit it consistently, you're going to have to focus on Jesus more than you focus on yourself, right? Amen. So the scripture I want to bring out to that is Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, which says faith works by love. Faith works by love. If you're focused on yourself, faith is not going to work in your life. Now, the word love there in the Greek is agape, which is God. It's God's kind of love. Okay? Remember, Scripture says God is love. So faith works by love. It works by God's kind of love. It works by God. You're focused on Jesus. You're focused on His love. Faith will work in your life. You're focused on you and everything you're doing wrong or everything you're doing right and it's not enough. You're in pride or condemnation. It's not going to work. You're going to suffer. Okay? If we want to reign in life and we want to experience the resurrection power and life of God, you've got to focus on Jesus. Focus on what He's done for you, not what you're trying to do for Him. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Now, next passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3. So, reigning in life is in, by, with, through Jesus Christ and focusing on Him, really. Focusing on relationship with Him. Focusing on His goodness, on His finished work, not on your actions, not on what you're doing. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. Amplified version says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in His resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, and not on the things that are of the earth, which have only temporal value. Verse 3. For you died to this world, and your new life, your new real life, is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Okay, so, once again, focus is key to reigning in life. Where is your focus? Okay, now you can read up to verse 11 there, and it's really powerful. And we could explain all of that, but I just want to focus on those first couple of verses there. Basically, it's saying that focus is key to reigning in life. So the things of Christ are above, the things of the devil are below. They're opposites. Okay? It's opposites. It's not remotely close. They're in opposite directions, and you cannot be occupied with both at the same time. You're either focused on the things of the world, or you're focused on the things of God. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You're either being transformed by the power of God and by His Word, or you're conforming to the pattern of this world. Okay, it's one or the other. It's never both or a mixture. You know, you don't have eyes on both sets of your head, right, on the front and the back, right? That means you can't go in two different directions. It's one direction or it's the other. Okay, I like to think of it like this is why God called the Israelites stiff-necked, because they were walking like this. So, you know, it makes your neck stiff. Stiff-necked. Because they were constantly looking back, you know, it would have been better for us to be in slavery with the Egyptians than to be free and experience this wonderful freedom, but die out here because there's a river in front of us, or whatever the case is. No water, or God's not going to provide, or I don't know what. Anyway, we choose what we focus on. Okay, Paul commanded these things. He said, we need to focus our attention on heavenly things. We need to focus our attention on the things of God. You have the choice. Okay, which means you have the choice to live in victory or not. Okay, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in His resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You are risen with Christ, and now you've got to keep seeking. It's a continual thing. Keep focusing. Keep seeking God. Keep seeking the things of God. Keep your focus there. If you don't keep yourself hot, if you don't keep yourself stirred up with the things of God, you're going to naturally just die down. You know, you may have seen that in your life or in other people's lives. Obviously, no one here has ever experienced that, but we know people that have experiences. They stop fellowshipping with believers. They stop reading their Bible. They stop going to church. They stop doing all of these good things that keep us fired up, that keep us alive, and they start dying down. They start growing cold. You know, I heard about it yesterday, actually. I don't remember who it was and who told me, but someone said they heard that so-and-so was very excited about God and whatever. I actually baptized them, saw them full of the Spirit, saw them radically impacted and changed, and they lasted for about 8 years, and now they're just completely backward. And it's really just because they got stuck into a church which was legalistic, and they were going full out, and they burned out. And now, the longer he stays away, the colder he gets until he experiences, you know, God's grace, I suppose. We need to keep ourselves fired up, keep ourselves moving forward. Okay? Now, this verse, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in His resurrection from the dead, keep seeking things that are above. If we understand the context of this, it's going to make a lot more sense to us. So, I just want to dig into the context for a moment. What Paul was saying, he's speaking about this from Colossians 2 verse 4 onwards. And he's really just saying that, you know, let me just check here. He was saying that these things, so that no one would be able to deceive the Colossians. He's saying these things because he doesn't want people to deceive us. Okay? He wants us to keep our focus right. He wanted them to know the completeness of their new life in Christ so that we're not drawn away from pure grace, from the gospel, from the good news. Okay? He went on to explain that we were dead to all the laws and all the externals. Okay, so then from Colossians 2 verse 20 to 23, he starts to focus on how we're dead to the law and dead to all these external things. Okay, and that really blessed me because it says focus on the things above, not the things below. And often we kind of feel like that's talking about sin and it's talking about holiness, but it's not. Things on this earth don't focus, you know, would include anything carnal. The law is carnal, where it gets us to focus on what we're doing and what we're not doing. It gets us to focus on action. So what the scripture is saying, if you want to reign in life, you've got to stop focusing on the law and stop focusing on your actions, what you're doing and what you're not doing, and start focusing on the heavenly things, the heart. Okay? If you focus on the law, you're focusing just on the outward and on actions, you're going to condemn yourself or you're going to get into pride. And you're not going to experience the resurrection power of Christ in your life. But if you focus on the inward man, who you are in Christ, if you focus on the new creation that you are in Christ, it'll start to transform the outer man. The inward man, who you are in Christ, will start to transform your actions, start to transform your life, and it will effortlessly result in reigning in life and walking in victory. But it will not happen the other way around. If you try and focus on your actions and dealing with things in the physical, it will not result in victory. It will result in frustration. When you focus on the inward man and who you are in Christ and seeing yourself as God sees you, it results in transformation. Okay? That's why transforming our minds according to the Word and starting to see ourselves as God sees us is so, so, so important. Verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Okay, another translation of this says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And so this is saying, it means that you need to exercise your mind towards this. Okay, the word set means to become fixed, which means you have the responsibility to fix your heart, to fix your focus, to fix your attention and your affection on whatever you want. If you fix it on the things above, you're going to experience transformation. If you fix it on the things of the Spirit, who you are in Christ, you're going to experience the new life, the resurrection power. If you fix it on the law and on the outward and on the actions and on the things of carnality, it's going to result in death, not life and peace, as we saw in Romans 8 verse 5. Okay? And, you know, change doesn't always happen so quickly for everyone. So, you know, put it this way. Some people get scared, you know, when like, for example, a pastor falls into sin. A leader falls into sin, and then the whole, you know, church is in chaos or whatever. And I love this explanation. No one ever was driving 120 kilometers down the highway and all of a sudden did a U-turn and went in the opposite direction. They had to slow down and then do a U-turn and then speed up to go in the opposite direction. It takes time. Okay? You draw the conclusion there. The same for us. If we start to set ourselves in motion and focusing on the things of God, it will build up and result in momentum, and then we keep going forward. If we feel like we're slowing down and we're growing cold, it's because over a prolonged period of time we've allowed it. It doesn't happen overnight. So the encouragement for us this morning would be build up the momentum of focusing on God and focusing on the Word, focusing on who you are in Christ, and do it consistently, do it over a prolonged period of time, and the momentum will come where you'll start to reign in life and live in victory, and it'll become easier and easier. Okay? The change will happen. You'll see the transformation. Then, you know, if you miss a day of being in the Word or whatever, you're not going to fall apart. You'll just be hungry for a day because the Word is your food. But you're not going to fall apart, and you shouldn't all of a sudden do a huge U-turn and, you know, fall in sin and get into bondages and things, because your heart is set in that direction and you're going there. And so the responsibility is up to us to fix our attention, to set our affection, to fix our hearts on God and on His Word and on the things of God, to go in that direction. Okay? It doesn't just happen because Jesus loves me. Okay? But He empowers us to do it. And when we do it, that power kicks in and it becomes more and more effortless. Amen. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." We are dead, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. So what are we dead to? What are we dead to? Firstly, Romans 6 verse 2 says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So you're dead to sin, the first thing. Romans 6 verse 2. Then Galatians 2 verse 19 says, "For though I am dead, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." So you're dead to the law. Okay, you're dead to sin, you're dead to the law. And then Colossians 2:20 says, "If I be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," talking about the elements of the world, so you're dead to the elements of the world. So you're now dead to the law, dead to sin and dead to the elements of the world. It's basically saying that, you know, these things don't affect you anymore. What affects you is that you're alive to God and you're living in the resurrection power of Christ. The Christian life is victorious because Jesus is risen from the dead. This is what separates us from any other religion, is that the person we follow is alive. The tomb is empty. And because of that, we can experience power and transformation and enjoy a relationship with Him. Amen. Father, I want to thank You that in You we have victory. In You we can live a life of victory and reign in this life because of Your resurrection power. Thank You, Father, that nobody here would feel condemned this morning that they're not focusing on You enough, but that they would just be encouraged and challenged to rise up and to make it a priority, to set their affection, fix their heart, to do the things that they need to do, to, you know, just to focus on You and keep their lives moving forward and gain that momentum so that they can see an increase of life and peace flowing in their lives. Father, I thank You that You didn't just throw us on earth and say, you know, do your best, but You empower us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to live this life, and that we can live in victory. I pray for each one of us that as we continue to focus on Your Word and focus on who we are in Christ, to see ourselves as You see us, I thank You, Father, that we're going to live in more and more victory and experience more and more life and more peace. Thank You, Father. I just feel impressed on my heart that there's some of us here this morning who are really just not experiencing peace at all in different areas. Doesn't matter what the areas are, but you know, God just wants you to know that you can experience peace. Peace isn't the absence of problems, it's being secure amidst turmoil. Peace is being able to stand secure and steadfast because you know Jesus is with you. You know, you're in the boat and there's just this huge storm, the waves are big, the wind is howling, and peace would be just that you know everything's going to be okay because Jesus is with you in the boat. And you're not focused on the wind, you're not focused on the waves, you're focused on Jesus with you in the boat. And Father, I pray for whoever that individual, those people are, that they would just fix their heart and their mind on You, no matter what's going on, and that they would just continue to experience Your life and Your peace, that they would start to be overwhelmed by it, Father. And that they would reign in that situation because of the life and the peace that they're experiencing. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.